Last week, during the Easter vigil on Saturday night, the first reading was from chapter 1 of Genesis and described the creation of the world. And then in that mythopoetic story, we read that God made the universe and everything in it over 6 majestic days of creation, and that on the 7th day, having completed his work, God rested. Genesis teaches us, in figurative language, essential truths about the origin and destiny not only of the cosmos, but also of the human race. And man is revealed in Holy Scripture to be the jewel in the crown of God's creation, the only one of God's creatures on earth who is a person endowed with reason and free will. And so God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. One essential consequence of God's creation of the universe and of man's personal dignity is the weekly Jewish observance of a day of rest from labor on the Sabbath, literally the 7th day of the week. Some other ancient cultures measured time by a 7-day week because of the stable cycles of the moon, divided into 4 units. But only the children of Israel kept one day each week as a sacred day of rest, dedicated to the worship of the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and then rested on the 7th day. This observance was codified and sanctified in the law of Moses. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. This unique feature of Jewish faith and life set them apart from all the other nations and became the axis around which all of life revolved for the entire Jewish people, for each family, and for every person. And please note that the day of rest is for the sake of worship. But this means that, strictly speaking, Christians do not keep the Sabbath, because Sunday is the first day of the week rather than the 7th. This change from Saturday to Sunday observance took place because the Paschal mystery of the Lord Jesus is the completion and perfection of the Old Covenant. And one sign of that belief is that for Christians, the weekly celebration of the Lord's Day moved from the 7th day of the week to the next day, the day of Christ's resurrection. So if 7 is the number of creation followed by rest, then 8 is the number of God's pluperfect work of restoring his fallen creation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sunday is thereby both the first day of the week and the 8th day. A hint of this meaning of the 8th day was already found in the law of Moses, which requires circumcision as a sign of the covenant to be administered to all Jewish boys 8 days after their birth. And that is also why most baptismal fonts are octagons. The number 8 is the sign of our redemption by the risen Lord Jesus, and so our great feasts of Christmas and Easter are kept over 8 days as one continuous liturgical day, just as are the Jewish feasts of Passover and Tabernacles. In the Gospel today, we find the risen Savior appearing in the upper room on both the 1st day and the 8th day to reveal the new life of grace through faith in him, his atoning death, and his glorious resurrection. Just hours after he rose from the dead, the Messiah appeared to the apostles on the 1st day of the week, and he breathed on them. Genesis tells us that at the dawn of creation, the spirit or breath of God moved over the waters and brought forth life. And now at the dawn of the new creation, the spirit of God moved over the church and brought forth the new life of grace through the forgiveness of sins. Thus the first day of creation has now become the 8th day and the beginning of the new creation. St. John tells us that despite the locked door, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The first reactions to the resurrection, both at the empty tomb and on the road to Emmaus, were marked by confusion, uncertainty, and doubt. But this meeting in the upper room was different. St. John, who was there, tells us that the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. But notice what happened first, before the joy. When the apostles were hiding in a locked room out of fear, Christ said to them, "Peace be with you," and then he showed them his hands and his side. The peace of Christ, which surpasses understanding, is made possible only by his atoning death and glorious resurrection. And even the risen Christ bears the marks of the nails and spear that he received on the cross. Last week, as the Paschal candle was prepared at the start of the Easter Vigil to receive the light of the new fire, 5 grains of incense mounted on nails were driven into the wax, as the priest said, "By his holy and glorious wounds, may Christ the Lord guard us and protect us." The torture and death which the Lord Jesus freely accepted as expiation for all the sins of the human race, leave their marks even in his risen and glorified body. And that is why the peace of Christ can remove our fear and doubt and shame. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. The sacred duty of the Church to proclaim the salvation of the world through the forgiveness of sins is grounded in this commission and the sacred gift which the Savior gives us through his apostles. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. This is the origin of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, commonly called confession, and it is the Easter gift of the Lord Jesus to his Church. When we are locked by our sins into isolation and loneliness and fear and doubt and shame, then our liberation comes from the Lord Jesus, who says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And abiding in Christ's word means, among other things, that we accept his Easter gift of the forgiveness of sins in each of the 4 sacraments which accomplish our absolution and liberation. Baptism, of course, is the first sacrament of forgiveness, and 2 of the others are anointing of the sick, as described by the letter of James, and going to confession as the fulfillment of Christ's Easter gift to the apostles and their successors of forgiving sins in his name. The 4th sacrament of mercy, and the font of all the others, is the Eucharist itself, in which we receive Christ's body given up for us, and the chalice of Christ's blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Ordinarily, the miracles worked by the Lord Jesus, the signs of Christ, are no longer with us. But his signs have gone over into the sacraments, which are the ordinary means of grace instituted by Christ, and which accomplish what they signify through the power of the Holy Spirit conferred by the risen Lord. But although the sacraments are powerful instruments of grace, they are not magic and do not work mechanically or automatically. No, the sacraments have their full intended effect in us only when they are approached, celebrated, and received with saving faith. And that is why we also read in today's gospel that on the eighth day, a week after his resurrection, the Lord Jesus came to the apostles again because Thomas was not in the upper room on the first day and would not believe in the risen Lord without evidence that he could see and touch. Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Then the doubting apostle cried out with faith, "My Lord and my God." To which the Savior replied, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Then John adds that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Friends, on this octave or eighth day of Easter, we rejoice in the risen Christ, and we seek to keep the Lord's Day holy each and every Sunday by sharing in the banquet of his sacred body and precious blood, remembering that the day of rest is for the sake of worship. We are among those blessed to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, without having seen him in his risen human body. And we are able to make the act of faith only because of his church, which continues his ministry to every time and place by the preaching of the gospel and the celebration of the sacraments. An essential dimension of our faith and a necessary preparation for our communion with Christ is regularly seeking the forgiveness of our sins in the sacrament of penance. And that is so that we may know the peace of Christ and by our words and deeds lead others to eternal life through saving faith in the holy name, the name of the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the crucified and risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Christos enesti, Alithos enesti, Alleluia, Alleluia.